Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, grab a seat. Good morning. Man, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, if you're a guest today, if it's your very first time with us, welcome. Thanks for being here. Let me introduce myself. My name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Oh, you're so sweet. And hey, I want to tell you two things. One, today's not a normal Sunday, and that's okay. And number two, if it is your first time, you picked a perfect Sunday to be your first Sunday here, because you're going to get to know a whole lot about our church very quickly. We are wrapping up a series today we do every year that we call Love and Beat. We started it last week. We're wrapping it up this week. So after today, if you have questions, you can go back. You can see how we got here. But let me quickly kind of bring in a little bit about what we're doing today, and then I'll tell you what's going to happen. But first, especially if you're new, let me answer a couple of just quick questions for you. Because if you're new, you may be wondering, so what is Love and Be? Why are we talking about it? Love and Be is our initiative to resource nonprofits in our community that are making Horry County a better place. And last week we talked about this, and we kind of solidified it and simplified it. For us, it's our attempt at changing the world. We believe God wants us to make a mark in our community. We believe that the mark of a Christ follower and the mark of a Christian community is that life improves. And so one of the things we do as a church is we look for great nonprofits in our community that are making a difference, that are really doing a great job doing the things we believe Jesus would have us do. They just happen to do it better than we can. And so we reach out to these organizations. I said this last week. We ask a very simple question. We say, hey, guys, how can we help? How can we help you do what you're doing, because you're making Horry County a better place? And we want to see Horry County become a better place, so let's work together. We say, hey, how can we help? And they always give us the same two answers. We need money, and we need volunteers. So for us, Love and Be is the time that we come around each other, and we focus on this for a few weeks. So what is Love and Be? For us, number one, it's a time where we give. We do once a year, we do what we call the Love and Be offering. We'll take that offering today. And if you didn't come prepared to give today, you can continue to give to that through the month of August. And that's a different offering from our regular offering. And the cool thing about the Love and Be offering is 100% of whatever comes into Love and Be goes out the door. It doesn't stay here. We use it to help fund these nonprofits over the next 12 months. They submit grant proposals, we weigh them, and then we distribute the funds. So we'll give a little later today. We serve as a part of Love and Be. That's why you see all the t-shirts. If you've been a part of a serving project, you get that t-shirt, because our partners need more than money. They need volunteers. They need people to help sort things and to paint things and to do yard work and to just all the things that are required to keep an organization running. We do those things during Love Weekends, where you can volunteer, you can sign up. We've got one coming up at the end of this fall. And so that's another thing we do. And we do this because we are convinced it is the best way our church can make sure Jesus' love is felt in our community. And so what we're going to do today, like I said, we're going to take the offering at the end, but today is kind of a recap day. The first week of Love and Be, we kind of cast vision. The second week of Love and Be, we celebrate. And we're going to learn about all the stuff God used you to do over the last year. You're going to get to meet some of our partners. We have partner stories. Our partners are in the lobby today, and I hope, you know, after today you'll go out and have a conversation with them, because one of the cool things we've seen happen is sometimes our people end up partnering directly with our partners, because you kind of have a heart match, a little love connection, and we love that. And so, you know, something may really spark your heart today. So what I'm going to do is to help me kind of tell these stories and celebrate what we've done, we're going to bring out, a lot of you guys know Eric Colquitt. He's our student pastor. You may not know, he also runs our Love and Be initiative, so he's going to come out and help us kind of celebrate today. So will you help me welcome Eric to the stage? Yeah, boy.
What's up?
Yeah, man.
Good to be here.
Nothing like finishing camp straight into Love and Be.
That's right.
You got
it. It's been a fun few weeks. So I'm so excited to be here today to share a little bit about what God's been doing over this last year. And I really hope today, while you're here, I hope that, number one, you're inspired. If you're a part of Love and Be, if you've given to Love and Be, I hope that you're inspired about all that God's done over this year. And I also hope, if you're not giving to Love and Be, that you're inspired to jump in. And also today, I hope that you are encouraged by these organizations and just how incredible they are and what good work they're doing in our community and all that we get to be a part of as a church.
Yeah. Oh, so I forgot to tell you. So over the life of Love MB, because of your generosity, we've been able to give away approximately $783,000. Yeah. That's what we've done over the life of it. We're hoping to see God do more of that. So we're going to talk about some of our partners today, and we call it Love MB because it's about our community. But again, because of your generosity a couple of years ago, we were actually able to expand Love MB just a little bit. So we have a few international partners that we're able to work with, and we're going to start with those. So tell us a little bit about our international partners.
Yeah, the first one I want to mention is an organization called One Child. One Child's focus is child sponsorship. And we've partnered with them for the last two or three years, and an incredible organization. And what's really cool about them is, as a church, we've been able to pick one location, and it's La Ceiba, Honduras. And in that location,
It's a beach community.
It's very similar to Myrtle Beach. And so in that community, there are these hope centers there where the kids that we sponsor are located. And those hope centers are connected to churches there. And so over these last two or three years, we've been able to form great relationships with these local churches. And we've taken, Trey and I went on a trip a couple years ago, and then this year, this March, we took some more of our team and we took some of our kids with us to kind of see how that would work. So check out some of these pictures from that trip. It was just another incredible time just to connect with these pastors. Again, we're building a relationship there, see what needs they have, and see how we can help.
Yeah, and the thing I love about One Child, well, number one, you're helping children, which is always incredible. And we're doing it by partnering with local churches. Like Eric said, One Child finds local churches, and that's where they run their hope centers out of. But we get to know the pastors. We get to know their families. And the heart connection is they love their community the same way we love our community. And we just happen to have more resources than they have. And it turns out our resources go a lot further in Honduras than they do here.
Yeah.
And so we are able to make a tremendous impact in what God is doing in Honduras because of your generosity. And that's why we love it, because they're just simply trying to see happen in their communities what we want to have happen in ours. And so it's been a really, really fun partnership.
So the first thing I want to tell you, the reason we took a lot of our kids with us this year is so we could figure out another trip.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to...
The question was, can high schoolers make it? And so we made our kids the guinea pigs, because that was safer than making your kids the guinea pigs. So you're welcome. These are the things we do for you. I'm just kidding.
This coming April, we are going to take another trip. And we're going to invite high school students to come and be a part of it.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you about all those details very soon, so be looking out for that. The next thing I want to tell you, and you can go ahead and throw the next slide up, if you are a current sponsor of one of these kids in Honduras, One Child is getting ready to do something very cool. They're releasing a new way to communicate with your sponsor kids. And if you are a sponsor, if you'll scan that QR code, you can see a sneak peek of how that's going to work, and you'll get more information about that as well. If you're not a sponsor, we're going to plan another Sponsor Sunday in the coming days, and it'll give you an opportunity to jump in and be a part of this as well.
Oh.
So God's doing some awesome things in La Ceiba, Honduras, and it's because of your generosity. Another organization that we have been partnering with for the last couple of years is an organization called Fountain of Hope, and they are actually located in Cambodia, of all places. And this year, because of your generosity and your giving, we were able to sponsor a village there in Cambodia. And what that means is we're able to help the people in that village with just basics of life. We help connect them to a cell church. We help connect them to basic resources that they need, health training, education training classes. So some really incredible things there in Cambodia. We got an update this June from the village there. And in each village, they have Bible studies that are ongoing. And they gave us an update about a guy by the name of Mon. That's a pretty cool name, right, Mon?
Yeah.
And he basically got connected to this group. He had an alcohol addiction. And he tried to find hope in all different places of life. And then one Christmas, he was invited to one of these Bible studies, and his life began to change. Check out what he said. He said, "I discovered that true hope changes not only a person, but an entire community. Through Bible training, I came to believe in God, the creator of the world, who truly saves people from their sin." And now, after he's gone through a 90-day leadership training program with other people, he not only doesn't have an addiction to alcohol anymore, but now he's a leader in this community, and his life is changing, and his faith is growing. So thank you for how you give all the way in Cambodia as well. So that's
Guys didn't know you were making the difference halfway around the world. And so those are some of our international partners, but obviously the vast majority of the work we do is right here in Horry County. So tell us about some of our partners. The whole day is about the partners. So just tell us about our next partner.
So the first one I want to focus in on is Echo Home Donation Center. It is an organization that we partnered with a couple years ago, and they are doing a really cool work. They are kind of a wing of Echo, which is a housing organization. If you need housing, they help people find housing, and the donation center helps them with everything they need as they are getting moved into to housing. And so we sat down with them recently to kind of understand a little bit about how this whole process works. So check out this video.
We're an organization that helps people experiencing any type of homelessness, safe and affordable housing. We also have supportive services that go along with that. We work with them and teach them how to write resumes, maybe, or, you know, apply for jobs. Horry County, Myrtle Beach, the Greater Grand Strand, the homelessness population is overwhelming, and it should not be that way. They just need a little bit of encouragement and help.
They are so almost used to living in the woods. When they come, it's almost like their mind stopped to that. So when you see them to really rebuild their life, just paying a bill is a struggle for them to have that impact of getting that job, to make a dinner on a stove. It really turns them around. Or for a child to be into that situation, I get to watch now a child come out of the woods or a car and sleep in a bed. It's really huge. And it's life changing for them and that family.
We will go and meet with them. We will get some more information from them, put a file together, try to get to know them a little bit. And then it's basically off to the races, where we're driving around looking for rent signs, coming to landlords that we already have, reaching out to all different kinds of agencies to see where we can find them a place to live that's good for them. When we're dealing with landlords, we have to be upfront, because a lot of times our clients may not have that spectacular of a background. And once we find that landlord to work with them, then it's, you know, collecting documents, collecting signatures, providing all of the backup information that we need. At that point, we contact our donation center, where we will send them a wish list of things, the basic necessities that one would think everybody has, but they don't. I mean, it could be as small as a towel to dry off with after taking a shower, or housing a larger family. It could be, you know, they're going to need a couch to sit on to be able to be together. Shower curtains, like the stuff that people just automatically have when they move out of their parents' house, you know, and they move up there, you know, they don't have any of that. So they're literally starting from maybe some clothes on their back. We have that timeline of about a week where we can get all of this coordinated and put together, and then we will pick our client up, whether it be from a TH house that we may have been able to place them in, or whether it's from the homeless shelter, or, you know, it could be from the parking lot where they've been staying for the past couple of months. We will pick them up, we sign our lease, go to the landlord, sign the lease, and then it's move-in day. And all that happens in about 30 days.
To watch a family turn their life around, or to watch a baby grow up, and now I've seen one child from the mom give birth, you know, and now this baby is, you know, 3 years old. It's very rewarding. When I do my case management meetings, the one child, I get to see her, you know, every time. And she knows me by my name. It's heartfelt.
I literally just moved this person in, and it wasn't even my client. She was living in a TH house. She had a young one in DSS care right now, and she's working extremely hard to get custody of her child back. She got a job right away. It was so amazing. So, you know, they found her a place to stay right around the corner from where she works, as there's no transportation. So I went in to meet her, and I was talking to her for a couple of minutes, and she pulled up a picture of herself a year ago. And I would not have recognized that woman. She said that she went to the judge 3 days prior, and the judge had to do a double take, and where the judge already had in his mind it was going to be another 6 months before he got to see, before, you know, he got to make the decision on starting the transition back home. He looked at her and seen what she was doing and seen how serious she was, and they are going to start the transition the next week. I remember being in her shoes. And that's why it hit so close to home with me. I was an ECHO client at one point, and my kids were in the care of my parents. And I remember that feeling. And she started tearing up, and I started tearing up, and I asked if I could give her a hug, because I know how proud she felt at that moment, how hard she worked, how scary it was to go through all new things that she had never done before. So I think that one's gonna stick with me for a very long time, because, you know, she's doing amazing things, and it just kind of really hit home. Yeah.
Yeah, I could say this after every video, so I'll just say it right now. Thank you. I mean that. Yeah. I cannot express how fun it is to be your pastor, and how awesome it is to hear these stories. And to know it's because of your generosity and your obedience. So thank you, thank you, thank you. What an awesome story. Tell us more.
Yeah. So because you gave this year, one of the things we did with the donation center is we gave them funds to purchase more beds, because that's one of their greatest needs as they help people move in. So thank you for how you gave this year. Two other organizations that I want to focus in on that we don't have a video for this year. First is Faith Outreach. If you have seen a food drive around our community, it was probably because of Faith Outreach. They do such a good job at helping people that are in need of food all across our community. And we were able to help them again this year by giving them resources to get more food, so that they can help more people. So Faith Outreach is an incredible organization. Please go meet them when we're finished today. The other organization is Youth With a Mission. They're a great organization here. Chris and Lizette Ball go to our church. Hopefully you've gotten to meet them. But they have kind of a dual purpose. One of the things they do is they train students to go across the world and do mission work, which is an incredible thing. Students come here, they train, and they are sent out. And then they also have a local mission here. They help J-1 visa students every single year that come to Myrtle Beach and work in all the jobs. And they help them in so many ways. They are an advocate for them. They help them with housing. When a crisis occurs, they step in and they help. I was just hearing about a story about a young man who got in an accident and his leg was hurt. And they're literally the hands and feet of Jesus to a group of people that come to Myrtle Beach every year. So they're doing an awesome work here, and we've supported them this year as well. So y'all help me think what they do in our community.
Yeah, they do an amazing job. A lot of people don't know, some of these J-1 visa students, they get a job, but no one's kind of communicated with them what to do. So they'll actually land at our airport and not know where to go. Yeah. And I have flown in at like midnight or 1 a.m., one time, and there's Chris with his little sign that says, "Hey, if you're from out of country, don't know where to go, I'll help." It's just so awesome. It's just beautiful. Yep. Thank you for letting us partner with you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Tell us who else.
Yeah. The next organization that we want to highlight is New Directions. New Directions, we've been partnered with for many, many years, and they do an incredible work around our community, helping the homeless population. And so we sat down recently with the new executive director to hear more about what's going on with New Directions, and we captured a story of a young man that I know you're going to enjoy. So y'all check this out.
New Directions of Horry County offers three shelters, one for individual men, one for individual women, and then one for families. The families could be single moms with kids, single dads with kids, or nuclear families. Each individual shelter, aside from the population that they're serving, they offer a housing stabilization program. The men and women individual shelters are centered more around mental health, getting back to work, substance use, just the underlying barriers to whatever problems contribute to the homeless situation. The family shelter, it's unique because of the children. So you don't see quite the same barriers that contribute to the homeless situation as you would in the individual shelters. People with substance use problems, mental health problems that have kids, they're typically not coming into a shelter with the kids. A program like this is so important because it's more than just a bed and a meal. It's a place where people can come and regroup, really take the time to focus and work on themselves and to really get some good time to save money and to be able to move out and take the next steps forward.
For me, it was very crucial because I had nowhere to go. I wouldn't say I was forced to live there because of my kids, but I was put in a position where I had to sell my car, stop making music, and just put all of that on hold, and I actually signed up for Full Sail there. So it kind of, in hindsight, was very helpful in a way of me being in school, so I can actually stay in limbo with, like, I can be in limbo with writing music and being in school at the same time, you know? And it helped me to better myself as a musician and to be a better father because I'm able to actually spend that time with my kids. Where Foundation is concerned, every aspect of everything that I do, it derives from something that was bestowed within me from Ms. Danielle and her willingness to want to help, you know, and to be so hands-on, you know, and it inspired me. It inspired me to look within myself and see what I'm doing wrong, you know, and what needs to be fixed within myself to have a level of mentality. And that's why I really respect Ms. Danielle, and that's why I love New Directions. What I want the people that are on the outside to know about New Directions is that they are a family-friendly place. It's very safe. It's not, no drugs are tolerated. They're very strict, which is what I love. I want people to also know that they care. Like, if you have a family member that needs a place to stay, guaranteed that Mrs. Danielle is gonna make sure or see to it that you get the help that you need. All you have to do is tell her what you need help with, you know? And if it's within her reach, she'll definitely be able to help you. And if she can't do it, she can make phone calls for you to actually be able to put you in position to guide you where you need to go. I've seen just a family dynamic, honestly. It's like being at home, you know? You're gonna have your ups, you're gonna have your downs, but that's not what I'm there for. See, me personally, how I see it is, when I come there, I'm literally coming there to better myself for my children. My biggest takeaway from being in New Directions would be to remain steadfast and to remain goal-driven. It's seeing the dynamic, understanding that things can go left very fast, seeing people get kicked out for doing the wrong thing. You know, that's a lesson to me, to not do the wrong thing if you actually are there and are not comfortable. You know, and the only reason why I say not, you can be comfortable in the place because it's very safe, but mentally, if you're not comfortable, it allows you to have, it opens you up to possibility outside of there. It gets you ready to leave there. You'll be more proud of yourself for keeping your options open and being more steadfast. I keep saying that word because it's the best word to say.
Our biggest need right now is probably support from the community as well as an understanding of what we really do. I was asked earlier today about burnout and how we prevent burnout here, and one of the other staff members actually made the comment that I get more burned out having to explain to people or correct misinformation than I do actually working with the individuals that we serve. And if we could do anything to change that narrative or just to get a consistent message of what we do and who we are.
Aren't those like the cutest kids you've ever seen in your entire life?
Yeah. So they do such a good work with families, men and with women. And this year, because of your giving at the men's shelter, they have a very, very cool spot upstairs where they sleep. And this year, we were able to replace every mattress in the men's shelter, which is a huge deal for them. So thank you for how you gave.
Yeah.
All right, the next organization that we want to highlight is SOS Care. SOS is an organization that we have, again, been sponsored with for many years. They do an incredible work in our community helping people with intellectual disabilities. And over the last few years, we have been helping them create or be a part of the creation of Oak Tree Farm, which is a community designed specifically for these individuals. It's a very awesome community that they provided there. And so recently we sat down and grabbed some interviews with some of the residents there so you can see the impact that Oak Tree is having right here in our community. Check this out.
Oak Tree Farm is a community where people with autism and IDD live independently. Well, everybody who lives here has just been very successful, and if there's a bump, we fix it, and they bring their own supports, so they have people helping them along the way. There is a huge difference from day one till now. Day one, we were moving boxes and getting ready, and that it came so fast. Everybody moved in. They waited a really long time for the apartments. So when the first three buildings opened, they moved in really quickly. Then we made processes, made rules, did things as we went because nobody ever did this before. And when the last two buildings moved in, we knew what to do a little better. So they were prepared a little more structure in the move. We knew more what their needs would be and what the bumps would be so we could prevent them before they happened. Oak Tree Farm is a multi-million dollar property. We are funded by donors, housing grants. Most of the residents work, so it's a low-income housing. They can get a housing voucher to help supplement it, but most of them work. I believe it's like 65% of them work.
I lived on my own at school. I went to Coastal in the LIFE program there, so they taught me how to be independent a little more and stuff. So coming here, I felt like it was the same, just not living with like a live-in support that I would have at school. I like how we can make friends here and do activities and be more independent.
I've been living here for 3 months and my experience is great. I love it here. It's meeting new friends and working with people when I am not working or being an RA. I like to go to the pool and do all the activities. The experience I have had living on my own is grateful because I learned how to budget, and being on my own is being independent and learning how to deal with situations that my parents had to deal with me, to help me with.
It's my first time living independently. I'm living with two roommates. We enjoy it here with all the staff, like cooking classes with some staff, pool parties with some staff, and we love living here. And it's really fun. It's easy to have my brother here, otherwise I would be lost. I love hanging out with my friends here, going to pool parties. It's fun hanging out here at Oak Tree Farm. We have a lot of parties, and you're more than welcome to come and hang out and party with us.
My experience with the residents here is I feel like a mom to 133 people. I have to build my boundaries because I probably step over that line a little too much. I love each and every one of them. There's something about everyone here that I bring into my life and my home. And I mean, I bring my dog here because they love my dog. It's amazing. It is, they've learned so much and come so far in 2 years. come see it and check it out.
I think they invited us to a party.
Let's do it. It looks awesome.
We should just all go.
Such a great place. So this year, again, we helped as they finished another apartment building with some furnishings for the residents as they were moving in. So thank you for how you gave to support Oak Tree Farm. It's really cool.
Another great one. I just feel like we have so many great partners.
Yep.
One more, right?
Yeah. So the last partner that we're going to highlight today is Habitat for Humanity, which is an incredible organization. And they do a really good job of helping people move towards home ownership. And you're going to hear a little bit about that in just a minute, about that whole process. But this year and over the last few years, we've been a part of funding what they call the Good Start Program. And this is basically gives people, as they move into their house, it gives them kind of like a leg up. We help them with things like a bed for every family, a washer and dryer, a lawnmower, a fully stocked pantry, things like that that you need as you're moving in to a house. And so this year we were able to fund five families as they moved into their house with all those resources ready so that they can get started well.
Okay, so, awesome.
Yeah.
So we've got one more video. We've got Habitat's video, and then we're going to kind of transition. So before we do that, before we celebrate with Habitat, why don't you help us all know for the next 12 months, how can we be a part of what God's doing at this church through Love MB?
Yeah. So again, today I hope you were inspired and encouraged by what you've seen and what God's been doing this year through these amazing partnerships. And so today, I hope that you will consider giving, or I hope that you will consider giving again, because that helps us support them again this next year. And then I would love to invite you to come join one of our Love Weekends. We're going to have at least two more before the end of the year. Our next Love Weekend will be September the 26th. We'll put out information about that really soon. We're going to be serving with New Directions. And then November, our goal is to serve with Habitat. So you can jump in before the end of the year and be a part of serving directly with these organizations.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So as we said, we've got one more story to show you. So we're about to see a story from someone who's in the Habitat program right now. She's getting ready to move into her house real soon. So check out this story.
Having a house of my own is very important to me, being a homeowner, especially for my daughters, showing them that they can also do this too. It's just being able to get to that, you know, that, I won't say the finish line, because it's not the finish line, it's the beginning of a new chapter. I would say seeing like where God's bringing you and being able to bask in that blessing and to see everybody that worked alongside you right there too, just cheering and being happy. I'm excited to also see my girls just running and just be excited and happy. Actually seeing the foundation, like the groundbreaking, and being out there and seeing the foundation. It didn't have the walls. It didn't have, you know, like the house, like you see in the house. But seeing the foundation and knowing like, okay, we're there, like this is really happening, I would say that's the moment for me, was my groundbreaking. And when you do come into Habitat, you do have to have a certain amount of sweat equity hours monthly. So you do have to go out to the ReStore and, you know, help them, as well as coming out and building on construction sites and also making sure you're putting in your time with your financial advisor. So as well as budgeting, making sure your outside life, your working jobs, you have your children. So there's a lot of dedication that has to go into this process. With Habitat, with on the journey of getting your home, some of the things that you will have to do, you have to do sweat equity, which includes construction work, also includes financial literacy. You can do the ReStore, and that's where they, you know, resell furniture or any little other little items. When we're doing our Habitat housing, our construction days, we come out at 8 and we're with Miss Sarah, Mr. Robbie, and you'll work on one of your people that's also in the class. You'll work on one of their houses, or you'll be working on your own. and we're probably due maybe painting or putty. And we have like just time together to talk and also to learn more. I think the biggest misconception that people have about Habitat is that they're like, here you go, here's your house. Thank you for signing up, and that's not it. You really have to work hard to get your house. You're doing a lot to make sure that you're getting those keys. You're putting in your hard work, you're putting in your time, your dedication. It's not a handout. They're actually helping you to your next step. When I get to my keys in my house, I'm going to say my prayer, and I'm going to thank God. That's the first thing I want to do in my house. I need to have a moment. I will have a moment because I want God to know, like, this is your space. Thank you for this house, but this is your space. God has showed up since the beginning of this process. God has shown me patience in well-doing. Even though it doesn't look like it right now, doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. And when you're in Habitat and you're working during this journey, you don't see your house right then. But you got to work through it to get to your house. So it's really showing like you have to keep your faith and keep working in your well-doing.
Yeah. So that's what God has been doing through your generosity for the past year. And now it's time for us to see what he's going to do for the next year. We're about to come to our response time. We do every week. And just like normal, if you're carrying something, if you're struggling, our prayer team's going to be down front. And man, we'd be honored just to pray with you, put our arms around you, and support you in any way we can. A communion, as always, is available in the vestibules during this response time if you just want to sing and reflect on who God is. And if you call Wellspring home, I would encourage you to reflect on Love and Be, to reflect on maybe what God's putting on your heart and how he would have you participate with us over the next 12 months. And I just want to remind you of some basic things, and we're done. Remember why we do this. At Wellspring, we understand that beliefs change us. We are saved by faith. We don't have to perform. There's not a checklist. We can't work for it. It's believing. That's what changes us. But we also know behaviors change the world. It's when our faith flows through us and we behave in the world like we love Jesus. That's when the world notices. That's when the world leans in. And the beauty of Love and Be is we also understand that partnerships multiply our impact. We can do so much more when we partner together, and that's what we're doing. I don't want you to miss that last video. She talked about praying and telling God thank you. That's why we do Love and Be, because we know there are men and women in our community tonight praying. They are begging God for something. They need some provision. They need some help. They need someone to step into the gap. This is how I end every year with Love and Be. This is the beauty of this. This is why we get to give. It's because today we have the opportunity to be the answer to someone's prayer request. God has put it in our hands. He's put it in our control. May we be people who understand we are blessed to be a blessing. May we be people who understand we get to give. And may our generosity in this moment transform Myrtle Beach. May men and women over the next year thank God for the prayer request answer provided today through your generosity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. We love how you have used us, and we love you are going to continue to use us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your son, for his example. Thank you for your provision. God, thank you for blessing. And may we always remember that to whom much is given, much is required. So, Father, in this moment, as we try to hear from you about the step you want us to take for the next 12 months, Lord, just may everything be driven by cheerfulness. Father, I pray that not $1 is given begrudgingly, not $1 is given because they feel manipulated. Lord, no twisted arms here. We only want willing hearts, Father. Willing hearts, willing to partner together to carry out your mission in Myrtle Beach and around the world. You've been doing it. You'll continue to do it. Thank you for letting this church be a small part of it. We love you. We thank you. We can't wait to see what you do today. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.